So you should be in Matthew chapter number 7, and very, very familiar portion of scripture here, Matthew chapter number 7, and let's pick it up in verse number 7. The Bible says this is Jesus talking, Sermon on the Mount, and he's encouraging them to pray. And he says in verse number 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that speaketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" And this morning, I just want to preach on that topic, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, because we're a needy people. God, we need to hear from your word. And I just pray, God, that you would get me out of the way. God, there's nothing I can say to help these folks in here. It's everything that you do. It's through your word, through your power, through your spirit. And God, you know each and every heart. You know each and every burden. You know each and every care. And I just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning and meet the needs, God, that we all have here this morning. And I pray, God, that we would leave here this morning just a little bit more challenged to be like you and to live for you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God, Jesus here was speaking, and he was talking about the importance of prayer. And there's a saying that goes that prayer is the muscles and the nerves that move the hand of God. The reality is that God wants to hear from us each and every day. God created us. He loves us. He wants to fellowship with us. But more importantly than that is God wants to be our provider. God wants to be there for us in a way that no other man can meet, no other woman can meet, no husband, no wife, no child, no aunt, no uncle. God can meet needs in our life better than every single person that is here on this earth. And the reality is that God created us for fellowship. God created us, and he saved us to give the gospel and to have a relationship with us. I said it in Sunday school this morning, if God just wanted us, then he would have taken us to heaven. The moment we got saved, he probably would have just taken us to heaven. But God has a job for us to do. God wants us to give the gospel and to influence others. And the way we can do that is having the power of God in our life. And the way that we can do that is having fellowship with God in our life. And it's no coincidence that the disciples went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Because prayer was, as you read back through the Gospels, prayer was a big part of Jesus' life. We think about the accounts when Jesus separated himself and went away and he came back and he went to pray and he came back and he saw the disciples sleeping and he said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" So we see the influence and the example of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Jesus Christ, he was the Son of God. He was God. But yet he took some time to go pray to his heavenly Father. And think about the fact that Jesus Christ needed to pray. How much more so in our life do we need to pray? How much more so in our life do we need to just get alone at some point in our life, at some point in our day, and just pray to our Heavenly Father? The importance of that. Because the reality is that we all have needs in here. You see, sometimes we pray and the Bible says we can pray amiss. We can pray and ask upon our own lusts and things that we want. And it's okay to ask for things that we want. God wants to hear those things. You know, I've been praying for a Lamborghini for a long time. Hasn't happened yet. No, I'm just kidding. But it's okay to pray, but sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes God says, you don't need what you think you need. But I'll tell you this, we don't always need what we want. But I'll tell you this, God always gives us what we need. Always. But the Bible says, ye have not, because ye ask not. And so the importance of prayer in our life, the power of prayer in our life. And I want to challenge you this morning, before we go through the scriptures that we just read, how are you doing in this area of prayer? Have you prayed today? Have you prayed this week? Have you prayed this month? And I'm not just talking about God bless this food, amen. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, saying your little prayer before you eat, that's all fine and good. But talking about getting alone with the one who died for you, with the one who gave himself for you, setting some time apart to just ask him and to just beg him and to just thank him and to just pour your soul out before him. And there's no better feeling in the world when I get down to pray, or pastors and people I know, and when they get down to pray and they tell me, they say, Brother Thomas, there was a man, I don't know how many of you know Don Green. Anybody know that name? Don Green, he pastored for a long time in Michigan. I think 68 years he pastored. And just a man of God. I met him a few times. But you know what he said one time? He said, and he didn't say this to me, but somebody else who then told me. He said, I know when I bow my head to pray, God hears what I have to say. And that, what power there is in that, is that when we bow our head and we call out to the one that created all of the world, that he hears our prayers. If we're right with him, if we confess our iniquities, because the Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. But what a good thing it is that we can go to the God that can forgive that iniquity. And once we're right with God and we're on the same page with God and we pour out our heart and our burdens and our desires, that the God in heaven that created everything, he hears us. And he wants to answer our prayers. Think about this verse. You don't have to turn there. Psalm chapter number 8 and verse number 3. The psalmist here, he says, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You know what the psalmist was saying? He says, when I look up, and I see the stars and the moon and the sun, and I see nature and I see the work of your hand, God. When I see all how big you are and how powerful you are, when I see those things, I'm reminded, what is man? What am I that you are mindful of me? And what a blessing this morning, folks, that we know that doesn't matter. Yes, God is big and he is powerful and he is almighty and he is forever. But that same God is concerned with you. And that same God is concerned with me. And he is mindful of us. He cares what we have going on in our lives, and he wants to help us along the way. Man, that should get you excited this morning. The privilege that we have to pray to an almighty God. My question is, do you take it for granted? How many days go by before you call out to him? I know I have. If I'm just being transparent, there's been days, there's been times in my life where I've taken it for granted, and I'm ashamed of that, but that's just the reality. But my job as a preacher of the Word of God is to get you back in line with this book, not with my thoughts or ideas or my philosophy. Get you back in line with what God says. And God wants you to think about these things. Did you pray today? How are you doing in this matter of prayer? Did you talk to him? That thing that's been just burdening you and you have anxiety about, did you talk to God about that? Because God wants us to talk. Look what Jesus says. We'll pick it up. We'll get into the meat here of the message. And I'll be quick. I know there's a business meeting after, and Brother Tom gave me a lot of money to be done early. So I'll make sure. I don't want to have to give any of that back. So I'm going to get done early. But we'll pick it up in verse number 7. What does it say? First word, ask. Ask, and it shall be given. What are we talking about? We're talking about prayer this morning. Ask. The word ask simply means to just make a request. To just ask, to just request something of. I remember when we had our first daughter, Eloise, and when she was born, she had kind of an odd-shaped head, if you will, and the back of her head was a little flat, so she takes after her dad. But what we had to do was we had to go, and our doctor said, hey, why don't you go to this specialist, and they'll probably end up giving her a helmet of some type to just form it back to the way it needs to be, to a normal-shaped head. And so we said, okay. So we went to the doctor, and you know, they told us what it would be, and our insurance covered a little bit of it, but it didn't cover a lot, and it was pretty expensive. And you know, new parents, and my wife wasn't working at the time. She had stopped working just to be home with Eloise, and so I was working, and I'll tell you what, folks, we got the bill and the pricing for everything, and it needed to be done. So we were going to do it, but you know, I'll tell you, I think I might have got down on my knees, and I think I asked God one time. I said, God, please, this is a lot of money, and you know our finances, and you know our budget. Would you just help us? And I think that's all I said. And got up, didn't really think much about it. Got up and went to work, and I was at work, and I did a job. What I do for work is I just go around to businesses, and I make sure they're up to code with fire extinguishers and emergency lights, and I do inspections, and then if they're not up to code, I just fix what needs to be done. I'm sure you have a company that comes and does that here for the church. So that's what I do. So I went to work, and it was a job that needed done, and the guy gave me cash for the job. So I took the cash, you know, he paid the bill right then and there, took it back to the office. And when I got back to the office, my boss was sitting there, and I gave her the paperwork and the cash, and you know, went and started doing some other paperwork and getting some other things in order. And as I was leaving, she said, here, Thomas, I want you to have this. And she gave me a big stack of money. You might say, oh, wow, that's a coincidence. No, 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 folks. There's a God in heaven that I just was before, that I just asked. I said, God, please, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know where this money's going to come from, but we have a need. Would you just help us with it? And I think that same week I had my boss, which that rarely happens, folks, giving me some money. She pays me, you know. Every week I get a paycheck, but not like that. The God, there's a God in heaven who heard me ask, who heard me make a request, and he answered that request. And God, all he wants us to do, in Matthew 7, it says here, ask, and it shall be given you. And sometimes, as I said earlier, we can ask amiss, and we can ask for things that we don't need, but when it comes to God, and it comes to his child, you and I, when it comes to things that we need, God always provides. God always comes through. God always hears what we have to say, and God always answers. Have you asked recently? Have you gone to God and asked him for something? Or are you trying to do it in your own power? Are you trying to do it in your own strength? It could have been easy for me to get a part-time job, and I do have a part-time job now, and it could be easy to go and do some of those things to try to make up for finances or whatever the case may be in a different area. But God, the God in heaven who created us, always wants for us to go to him first. He always wants for us to go and say, God, would you help me with this? Do you do that? Do you ask God? Or do you say, I got this covered, God. I know I need this. I know I'm struggling in this area, but I'm going to do this. I remember, you know, early on in our marriage, when my wife and I, when we first got married, you know, there's an adjustment. When two young people get married, you learn each other what they like, what they don't like. You know, I learn her pet peeves about what I do, and she tells me, and I try to fix those things. But you know what? I learned early on in marriage And granted, it doesn't always work out this way, but, you know, God, and vice versa for my wife, if my wife would go and pray and ask God to help me with something, God can do a lot better job of working on my heart than my wife can. And God can do a lot better job working in my wife's heart and in her life than I can. And I learned that, and I've seen that when I've gone to God and I prayed and I just asked him for help in our marriage in just certain areas. It's amazing how God, you just look at the situation and you can see God at work. But it doesn't happen if we don't ask. It doesn't happen if we don't go before the God of heaven and say, God, please, would you help me? I'm here because I need to make a request of you. Ask and it shall be given. What does it say next? It says, seek and ye shall find. You see, the word seek, it's a little bit more extensive than just asking. It's a little bit more involved than just asking one time. To seek means to go and search out, to be in quest of. You see, when you ask, you might just ask somebody something one time and it might be granted, as it was with that money, right, at work. I asked God one time and he provided for that need. But sometimes I ask God and he doesn't always provide the need right away. That's why Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Sometimes you need to go and you need to search out. And you need to go on a quest of whatever it is you need in your life. I remember when our church last year, we were starting the Bible handout program. And I'm over that ministry. And so if you've never heard of it, what we do is we go to parking lots around Elgin, South Elgin, around our community there. And we set up signs that just say free Bible. That's all it says. And we just stand there. And people come to us and say, hey, can I have a Bible? And we get to talk with them and we get to give them the gospel. And we've seen many people saved from that. But when we first started that, it was just a small group of people in a room with me. And what I decided to do as a ministry, what we decided to do was we made a prayer list. And on that prayer list, we put some goals for the Bible handout ministry. And some of the goals were to give for someone to be saved each Saturday. We go out on Saturdays, sometimes throughout the week, but mostly on Saturdays. One of the goals was for somebody to be saved every Saturday. Another goal was to have one visitor in church every month. Another goal was to have one person baptized after they get saved every month. Another goal was for each individual group. There's probably 5 to 7 groups that go out around the area. For each group to give the gospel out. So those are some things that we put down on our prayer list. And granted, we started this last year in August, okay? And so we've just been praying. We've been praying for over a year, or close to a year. We've just been praying for God to do something. Not so we can pat ourselves on the back, not so we can say, look what we did, but for God to get the glory. And for people's lives to be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we just started praying and asking God to do a work that only he can do. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And this past month, so for the month of October, we had 14 visitors in our church for October. We had four people come to be baptized in the month of October that were saved on Saturday, that got saved at church. Listen, we were only praying for one. But we were praying and we were praying and we were praying. And it wasn't just a one-time thing where we asked God and we forgot about it. No, each and every week we went back to God and we asked him to do something special in the Bible handout ministry. And he blessed us with 14 visitors that came to church in 1 month and 4 baptisms. Man, I'll tell you about excited when you see God work and you see God's hand of blessing upon your church and upon the people of your church and upon your life and just different things that God does. It's an amazing thing how God can answer your prayers. But we had to search for it. we had to go in quest of because it mattered to us. And so many times things come in our life and hardships and trials and situations and maybe for a lost family member or we prayed for somebody's son and son-in-law to be saved in Sunday school this morning. You know what? It could be easy for that man to pray about it one time and never think about it again. But it matters to him. And so when somebody asks for a prayer request, he raises his hand and says, could you pray for these people? Because I'm sure on his own time, he's searching and he's asking and he's begging God to do something that only God can do. Because sometimes in life, folks, there's situations that arise that only God can resolve. That only God can bring it to pass. And my question to you, my challenge to you is, are you seeking after God today? Are you seeking Him in prayer? Are you seeking His face? Do you want to know Him? Do you want your prayers answered? Because we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that died on the cross for our sins. He said, ask, and it shall be given. He said, seek, and ye shall find. Those are promises from the Son of God that we can claim anytime we want to claim. But you know what? It costs us something. Answered prayer costs us something. It costs us time. It costs us sacrifice. It's a little bit inconvenient, you know, after a long day of work or whatever it is to pray for a few minutes and to ask God and to seek God. But you know what? How much do you care about that person? How much do you care about that situation? Ask. God says to ask and He says to seek. Thirdly, what does it say? Verse number 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. You see, knocking, it's a little bit more extensive than asking or seeking. The word knock means to beat down. To beat down. And sometimes in life, we need to do some knocking. There was a man in our church. He was his wife, who has now passed away, but his wife was praying for her a family member to be saved for 30 years. And I think it was a few years ago before she passed away, that family member finally got saved. But think about that. 30 years, folks. 30 years of going back to God and knocking. Say, God, please, would you save this person? God, please, would you work in their heart? God, please, would you work in their life? And going back and back and back and back for 30 years. And that person finally got saved. Do we have any 30-year prayers? Do we have any 1-year prayers? Do we have any 5-year prayers? Do we have any 10-year prayers? It's going to cost us something. Sometimes in life, if we want God to work and intervene, it's going to cost us something. I got saved. I think I told my testimony last time. I think I briefly did. Most of you probably don't remember because it's not that memorable, amen, but that's fine. But I like telling my testimony. But I grew up in New York City. And anybody here from the East Coast at all? No? My man. All right. We'll talk later, okay? We'll get some pizza, hot dogs maybe. No, I'm just kidding. But I grew up in New York City, and I grew up Catholic. My family was lost. My dad passed away when I was 4 years old. He was a drug addict, passed away. And very early on in life, around 12 years old, I started to go down that path. Party lifestyle and just rebellion. And my mom was a single mom, obviously, and tried her best to raise me the right way. But I just rebelled against her. And when I was 12 years old, started just going down a bad path. And that happened for a few years. And when I was 16 years old, my mom finally had enough of me and my behavior. And she sent me to a boys' home in Missouri. And like I said, we were Catholic. We were lost. But that boys' home preached this book right here. They preached the King James Bible. And I got there November 11th, I think. November 14th, 2011 was when I got to that boys' home. And I remember each and every day we would wake up and we'd read the Bible. They give you an opportunity to read the Bible. And I would do that. I'd read the Bible. And they would preach. And I just remember God was just working in my heart. And on November 28th, 2011, I bowed my head. I prayed and I trusted Christ as my Savior. And when I did that, I knew I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven. But man, I had some baggage. I had a lot of things in my life that I had to work through. A lot of addictions and just a lot of different things that my flesh still wanted. And it was a struggle for me to live for God. And I was at that boys' home for a year and I learned a lot. Learned a lot of Bible. I knew what was right. I knew what was wrong. I knew the way that God wanted me to live. But I went back home to New York and I started to backslide. While that was happening, while I was at the boys' home, I was telling my grandma, who was, I think, late 80s at the time, I told her how I got saved. And she thought I was in a cult. And she was Catholic, went to Catholic church. But little did I know, she had a hairdresser, her hair lady or whatever, was a Christian. And that lady would witness to her. And then I would get on the phone and I would witness to her, not knowing that her hairdresser was a Christian. And we would both witness to her. And my grandma, when she was in her late 80s, went to a gospel preaching church and got saved. And I was excited. Long story short, okay, I went back home to live with my grandparents when I got back to New York and I was backslidden. And I remember my grandma. She knew I wasn't living right. She knew I wasn't living for the Lord, and she would pray. I'd hear her praying. It would annoy me. But she'd say, under her breath, walking up, cleaning and doing laundry, she'd pray, God, please, just help Thomas. Convict him and help him to come back to you. And she would pray, and she would pray. And she got her church to pray. And eventually, I got right with God. I went to Bible college. I got called to preach. And I'll never forget this. I was talking to a man from my grandma's church. This was probably 10 years later. I was talking to him, and I was helping him. My grandma needed something, and I was talking to him to help her with it. And so he goes, Thomas, I'm so proud of you. He said, our church and me, he said, myself, I've been praying for you for 10 years. And look what God is doing in your life. Think about that. 10 years, folks. There was a group of people just praying. Just knocking. Saying, God, would you work in this young man's heart? I only met him once or twice. I didn't really know them, but they took the time. They said, God, please. Would you work in his heart? Would you work in his life? Would you get him right with you? And God did. God cleaned my life up and called me to preach. And I would not be here in front of you, dear people, today, preaching the word of God. I believe this with all my heart, if it was not for my grandmother and that group of people that was just knocking and knocking and knocking for some 16, 17, 18-year-old punk to get right with God. There's some things, folks, in our life that we need to knock about. Go to God. Go to God. Listen, this isn't about me. That's just my personal testimony. I'm sure if we went around the room today we passed the microphone around, some of you can raise your hand and say, Brother Thomas, there was somebody that was praying for me, a mom, a grandma, an aunt, an uncle that was praying for me to get right with God or to be saved. There were some people that were knocking, knocking, and knocking. Listen, God is not done in our life. God is not done working in our heart and in our life, but he wants us to come to him. He wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. He wants us to knock. In Luke, we won't turn there for sake of time, but in Luke, Jesus is telling the story about the traveling man and how he went to his neighbors and said, hey, I have some people traveling. I need some bread for them. Do you have some bread? And the neighbor said, no, go away, go away. Me and my family are sleeping. Don't bother us. And the man just kept coming back to his neighbor and knocking and said, hey, I need some bread. I need some bread. I need some bread. And the Bible says because of his importunity, he gave him the bread. Because of his relentlessness, because he would never give up, he got what he was asking for. And all of our lives, we need some bread, if you will. We need to go to God and we need to knock and knock and knock until God comes through, until we can show God how serious we are about this matter of prayer, until we can show God how seriously burdened and heavy the situation on our heart is. We go to God and we knock and we knock and we knock, and the Bible says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock. How you doing this morning? What do you need this morning? What do you need? What is it that only God can help you with? I don't know the answer because I don't have all the answer, but God knows. God sees the hearts. What does your family need? What does your children, what do they need? What does your church need? What does your neighbor need? There's so many needs, folks, in our life, and we have a God in heaven that is just waiting and saying, hey, I'll help you out. If you want some help, I'll help you out, but we need to ask. We need to seek, and we need to knock. And I wonder here this morning if there's some people that say, you know what, Brother Thomas, I'm not doing good. I'm not where I need to be in this matter of prayer. Well, I got good news. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we would just come to God today at this altar in this pew and say, God, I have not been praying the way I need to pray. Would you forgive me? God will forgive you. And you could pick up right where you left off, where you had a relationship with God and you fellowshipped with God and you asked and you seeked and you knocked, because that's all God wants, is to have a relationship. He wants to answer our prayers. We read the verse in Sunday school this morning, but it says, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God just wants to pour out a blessing to each and every one of us. But are we praying? Are we asking? Are we seeking? Are we knocking?